Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony for worship. It's good to be together and to see each of you. Thank you for your presence and choice to be here. It's a special day in the life of our church. We will be baptizing Gabriel Harp, the young son of Selena Harp, and that will be a meaningful experience for all of us to celebrate Selena's evolution and continued growth as a mother and little Gabriel. Just a couple other announcements. For our community, we have a two-day commuter retreat coming up in August. That is August 10th and 11th, and you can find more about that in the bulletin. Also, we have a few extra spaces available for the six-day centering prayer retreat that starts on July 26th, this weekend. And so if you're feeling drawn to a retreat experience, there are some openings available for that. I want to remind everyone, especially if you're new or recent visitor, that every week we send out a weekly email, and we also have a monthly newsletter. And you can receive those by just letting the office know of your email or going online and signing up yourself. But just wanted you to be aware of that, because you may not have been aware of that, since if we don't have your email, you wouldn't be receiving that. That's all the announcements I have. Again, I thank you for your presence this morning. Today we will hear an ancient scripture that's really more dreamlike, more myth-like than real in a way. And we will be listening for insights for how to deal with the storms of our life, that we can gain these insights from the story of the great flood in the book of Genesis. So whatever has drawn you here today, let's just take a moment in the silence and ask the Spirit of God to bless each of us and those beside us in worship, and that this community experience together would bless the world with love. Amen.
There in chanting, Holy Spirit, come. And please, Om, if you wish to Om. Let's stand and join our hearts to the gospel in one word is love.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Love, love.
God of love, God of this moment, God of each of our beating hearts, we thank you for the gift of community that contains us as we grow, holding us gently but with severity, calling us to transform and practice and to listen to your living word. We ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, this service would be a blessing to each of us in our journeys deeper into your love, that you would feed us with your wisdom through the music, through the silence, through the prayers, through the scripture and teaching and Eucharist. We thank you for the gift of life coursing through each of us, and especially through the gift of life in little Gabriel. We thank you for this church, all that it represents. We thank you that it is an ark of refuge for each of us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, bless this time. Send us home changed, transformed, never the same. May the world never be the same again as well. In Christ, through Christ, for Christ, in your most holy threefold name we pray. God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the holy living Trinity. Amen. In just a moment, I'll invite Selena and Gabriel forward for the sacrament of baptism. I wish to read to you a statement that the board, church board, wrote and incorporated into our belief statements, what we aim for. And this is the statement on infant baptism. Infant baptism acknowledges the child as God's and proclaims the wish of the parents or parent and the community to serve the spiritual unfoldment of the child. We bless and pray for the child and the child's parents. Each of us perhaps has been baptized. If not, I encourage you to take the baptism class here next year. Baptism is a profound experience whenever it happens. But today we are collectively joining Gabriel in a wish for him to give his life to God more and more and discover that journey as he grows. So I invite Selena to come forward with Gabriel. Selena's here with her family, her parents. And you can just stand right beside me. Hello, Gabriel. Precious little boy. Is he 4 months old? Not quite three, okay. Well, you're the big boy. As is our tradition, I'm going to read this beautiful poem on children by Cahil Gibran. Selena, your children are not your children. They are the sons of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bow from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite and bends you with his might, that these arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves the bow that is stable. So we give thanks to God for your stable love to Marsden and Gabriel. And today we have the privilege of joining with you on this journey of love. I'm so proud of you, your courage to do this, and how you have evolved through your suffering is a witness to your faith and your presence and your who you are. Yeah. We consecrate this ordinary water to the sacred purpose of marking Gabriel's life with the presence of God, claiming and holding and loving a symbol of life to life. Hello, Gabriel. Gabriel Harp, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May you know God's love each moment of your life, and in the arms of your mother, the love of Mother Mary. Amen. See what great things God does. The gift of life is inexplicable, and it helps us to remember. Look at your people. Helps us to remember our own essence and the gift of our own innocence. Yes, you're beautiful. Okay, here's Mommy. Let's extend our hands and bless Selena and Gabriel with our love and support. May you feel the support and strength of this community in your weakest moments, that it would be so perfectly clear that you are held by love and by God and by this community and your family. And may Gabriel grow in grace, wisdom, and love, and bring you great joy to your heart. Amen. Amen. You can take that. You can wash that off of that. Thank you.
Please join with me in listening for God's Word. Our reading today is taken from chapters 6 and 7 of Genesis. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I am going to destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its width, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark, and finish it to a cubit above, and put a door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For my part, I'm going to bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing, of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds, according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every kind shall come in with you to keep them alive. Also, take with you every kind of food that is eaten, and store it up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened. The rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day Noah, with his sons Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons entered the ark, they and every wild animal of every kind, and all domestic animals of every kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every bird of every kind, every bird, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded, and the Lord shut him in. The flood continued for 40 days on the earth, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high upon the earth. The waters swelled and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. The waters swelled so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters swelled above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, domestic animals, wild animals, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all human beings. Everything on dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. God blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, human beings and animals and creeping things and birds of the air. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those that were with them in the ark. And the waters swelled on the earth for 150 days. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Storms are inevitable. Arcs are not. Storms are inevitable. Arcs are not. Arcs are intentional. Was the last time you heard that scripture read to you in third grade? Probably most of us haven't really paid much attention to that story in a long time. There's something haunting about that story that is in our genes, something that every human heart hears whispered because it is a part of our psyche, the deluge that happened. But it's also kind of foreboding because in our culture today we have a fascination with the apocalyptic and the fear that we're ruining the earth and that it's coming to an end. And so we feel this pinch in our psyches by these ancient stories that speak to us at a mythic, allegorical, almost dreamlike level of principles that we can apply in our lives. So let's explore this together and see what lands for each of us in our own journeys. If you have a pulse, from time to time, a situation, an event, a person, a relationship, an experience, unexpected news, an emotion, a thought, a feeling, a sensation, a pain, a diagnosis, an invitation, a loss, a grief, a question. If you have a pulse, sooner or later one of these things will overwhelm you. It'll be like a flood. And our nervous system actually feels flooded sometimes by these events or situations or people or questions that arise. That flush of energy, that rush of emotion, the amygdala working, we oftentimes are the location of the flood where the storms of life overwhelm us. And that's part of the human condition. That's why I say, if you have a pulse, chances are you've been overwhelmed. Perhaps you're overwhelmed this moment. I know I am. Thought storms, feeling storms, body and health storms, money storms, family storms, kid storms, neighborhood storms. These storms are all around us, and the question is, what do we do with them? Storms are inevitable. Arcs are not. Arcs are intentional. Where's your arc, baby? I'm gonna begin here with the application, what I would normally do at the end, just in case you tune out. Why is that funny? So here are the applications. On the inner level, kind of the third order of meaning, beyond just the proscriptive, this is something that takes time to listen to the text, to listen for, through certain ideas, the lens of the work ideas in particular. So here is the application for our lives. First, from the story I heard that a way out and a way through the storm is always available, will be available. A way out or a way through your storm will be available. It will become available, and it will be made known what that way is. Second, like Noah, we're going to need to listen for guidance for what to do. We're going to need to listen to that voice of wisdom that speaks to us in the stillness and the quietness. Number three, we're going to need to follow that guidance. It's one thing to listen and hear it and receive it. It's another thing to follow it and implement it. Follow that guidance. And this is the point that I think is interesting from Noah's story. Follow that guidance that is given to you despite what it looks like or what anyone else says about it. This is your guidance. And it's your storm. And it's my storm and my guidance. Next, take refuge then and trust that guidance provided. Enter into it. Live into it. And finally, this is perhaps the most challenging part of the application for all of us, at least it is for me, and that is to wait it out, to wait and be patient and ride out the storm with others who love you and whom you trust. And that's the inner application from this profound myth that has so many applications, but certainly storms are inevitable, arcs are not. Listen for that guidance, the way will be provided. Act on it, take refuge in it, and be patient as you ride it out. So there you go, the application. Now, in each of our lives, and the unique storms that we face, that flood us, that seem to flood us, perhaps there's a wisdom to recognize that this is the nature of life, to storm us, to flood us, to deluge us, to destroy us almost, so to recreate us. And this is the principle that in every event, in every life, there are both the creative and the destructive and the reconciling forces. And not to be afraid of the destructive energies, the storms of life that come to transform our lives. I never forget going down to D'Iberville after Hurricane Katrina hit, leading a group of men on a men's mission trip from Flint, Michigan, First Presbyterian Church, and meeting these beautiful people, extraordinary people, survivors of that storm, and then going back 5 years later and 10 years later and seeing how they had rebuilt and how their lives were stronger and more joyful and more real because of the suffering and the loss they had experienced. It's a tangible reminder that the storms of our lives are destructive, but they are also a creative force, not to run away from them, not to resist them. So, two questions today just to kind of hang our minds on. The first question is, what is your storm showing you? What is your storm showing you? Storms are here to reveal things. And what are the storms showing us? About ourselves? About what is needed in the world? About what you're being called into? About how you're being invited to become different? What is your storm? Even a little storm, like a little thought storm, like jealousy. What is it revealing to you? What is it showing to you? And the big storms that come. One of the things that I find interesting about this passage, this myth, is that it teaches that the storm comes to reduce down, to winnow down, to prune down the multiplicity that has become violent to the essential, to the unity, symbolized by Noah and his family. So all the mass of humanity, the multiplicity of fragmentation, of violence that's within us, the parts of us that are fragmented, the parts of us that are violent, the parts of us that have lost touch seemingly with God or truth or wisdom, these parts of us encounter the storm, and the storms of our lives then transform those parts and winnow them down, prune them down, bringing the essence forward and the personality passive. Storms do this. They also provoke the personality, there's no question about that. But storms have a way, these floods that come in our lives have a way of reducing us down like you'd reduce a soup stock down to this essential flavor, to your essence. Bernadette Roberts speaks of this so profoundly and precisely in her book, The Christian Contemplative Journey. Listen to this. This is from her, the last two paragraphs of what is called an interview, the chapter called an interview on page 252. Paradoxical though it may seem, the passage through consciousness or self moves contrary to self, rubs it the wrong way, and in the end will even rub it out, reducing it, winnowing it. Because this passage goes against the grain of self, it is therefore a path of suffering. Both Christ and Buddha saw the passage as one of suffering and basically found identical ways out. What they discovered and revealed to us was that each of us has within himself or herself a still point, comparable perhaps to the eye of a cyclone or hurricane, a spot or center of calm, imperturbability, and non-movement. Buddha articulated this central eye in negative terms as emptiness or void, a refuge from the swirling cyclone of endless suffering. Christ articulated the eye in more positive terms as the kingdom of God or the spirit within, a place of refuge and salvation from a suffering self. For both of them, the easy way out was first to find that still point, and then by attaching ourselves to it, by become one with it, to find a stabilizing, balanced anchor in our lives. After that, the cyclone or hurricane storm is gradually drawn into the eye, and the suffering self comes to an end. And when there is no longer a hurricane storm, there is also no longer an eye of stillness. So the storms, crises, and sufferings of our life, this is so crucial, are a way of finding the center, the eye still point. When everything is going our way, when there are no storms, we do not see that eye. And we feel no need to find that eye of stillness. But when everything is going against us, when the storm and the deluge comes upon our life, then we seek the eye. So the avoidance of the storms and suffering and the desire to have everything go our way actually runs contrary to the whole movement of our spiritual journey and evolution. It is all wrong. With the right view, however, one should be able to come to this state of oneness quite quickly. Because self is everyone's experience underlying all culture, I do not regard cultural wrong views as an excuse for not searching out for right views. After all, each person's passage and storms are their own. There is no such thing as a collective passage. This is a one-on-one journey for each of us. And though our storms are similar and we can have empathy and sympathy upon one another, your journey through your storm and your relationship to that storm is unique, personal, one-on-one, doing something in you that it would not do in another person in the exact same way. Thus, we can have empathy, but also a sense of boundary that we cannot solve the storms of other people's lives, because we certainly can't solve our own storms. We can surrender and diminish into that still center point while the storm swirls and churns. So that's the question. What is your storm revealing and showing you? Showing you perhaps something about yourself that needs to be worked on, that needs to be evolved, showing you something where you're growing in humility or gentleness or less reactivity or less irritability or less anger, or showing you where you can love more freely and give more generously and serve more compassionately. It's not just the negative things the storms reveal. The storms also reveal our hidden jewels and those precious gifts that have been that we've been hiding from one another and hiding from the world out of fear or whatever it might be. What are your storms showing you? The second question is, then where do you take your refuge? Where do you take your refuge? And from, you know, the ancient passage, there's a lot in that passage, and I highly recommend getting a hold of Volume 5 of Morris Nichols' Psychological Commentaries. And there's 9 pages, starting on page 1744, and this is the title of his commentary. Commentary on the Meaning of the Ark. And he does the best job articulating the esoteric, inner, psychological, transformative ideas of this ancient story in an up-to-date way. And I'm not going to read this, but I highly recommend that you do read it, remind yourself of it, refresh yourself of it, because it is extraordinary. What I am going to read is another paragraph from Maurice Nichols, which teaches us about what the work is and how it is a place of refuge for us. In Buddhism, they have actual formality of saying taking refuge in the Buddha, the teacher, in the teaching, and the Sangha, the community. And it's the same for us, and I would recommend that we think of our primary refuge as the container, like the ark. What's in your container? And there are all sorts of containers we build to navigate the storms of life. But the container of a community, of a sanctuary, of a set of ideas and principles becomes a much, much more profound experience of what an ark can be, what a place of refuge can be. Here's what I'm talking about. This work, this system of teaching, these ideas we are studying are the most beautiful things you can possibly imagine, and they are new to us. They are far more lovely and beautiful than anything you can imagine. These ideas accuse you only of being asleep. They hold no conviction of sin in them. They ask you quite gently to observe yourself, to know yourself more. It is you yourself who must accuse yourself. Study yourself. Let us take one of the ideas of this teaching. The idea of essence. We are not merely born of our parents, our lineage of human history. Our parents create the apparatus for the reception of this essence that comes from the stars, comes from above. Now each one of us is down here on this planet, a planet of violence and great possibility. So down in the ray of creation, because we, each one of us has some special thing in ourself, some special factor or chief feature to observe, something to become conscious of and begin to dislike and work on and work against. And these are why the storms can be so useful, because they help reveal this something that we must work on, that we are here to work on, and that we alone can work on. It may be meanness or cruelty or lying or self-pride or fear or ignorance and so on. And if a man or a woman dies without seeing why they are here, without having taken refuge in these ideas, what is the real reason for their life? Can it be called anything but a tragedy? Each one of you is here on this earth because, from the work point of view, we have something very special and very important to see in ourselves and struggle against with all our skill and ingenuity, with all our strength of mind and will and soul and heart and body. This work, if you will listen to it and hear it in your hearts like Noah did, is the most beautiful thing you could possibly hear. Where do you take refuge from the storms? And it's a very practical question. But I don't know how to get through the storms of life apart from community. I don't know how to get through the storms of life apart from new and different ideas that I am not accustomed to thinking, because they come from a higher source. And you don't need to go to Tibet to find these higher ideas. The books are here. Tibet has come to Austin, so to speak. And we live in an extraordinary time where this ark has collected extraordinary wisdom and goodness from all around the world and brought it together in this place, sealed it from the storms of life, so that we can be carried through the storms of life together. And as we are carried through the storms of life and we're transformed by this life together in the ark, filled with the wisdom of the work and the practices of meditative prayer, centering prayer, Lectio Divina, Eucharist, worship, as the practices, as the teaching, as the community change us and transform us, the ark becomes a vessel that will bless the world. Not by going out there, but because each one of us go out as our own little arcs into the world. And we influence, and we have impact, and we have relationships in the world. And so this is really the ultimate in this application of this passage. The ark is your heart. The ark is your heart, ultimately. This community is in service to your heart becoming an ark for the Spirit of God. And isn't it interesting that the ark of Noah was prefiguring the ark of Yahweh, where the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, dwelled, and the people of Israel carried that box, that sacred ark of the covenant, around as a symbol of something higher dwelling in them, transforming them, blessing them. Our hearts are our arks, and they carry us through the storms of life. And when they are filled with this wisdom, when they are filled with teaching, when they are filled with something other than yourself, it is a great place of refuge. And it is it's very evident that we can be a storm to someone else, or we can be an ark to someone else. And really, this is the responsibility of this journey. Isn't just for our self-development, but the impact it has on others in our community, in our lives, and in our world. What are the storms revealing about you, showing you? Where do you take refuge? And how is your heart becoming more and more of an ark that blesses other people versus being a source of a storm to them? Well, this ancient story is useful in so many ways, and I am in my own journey realizing how important it is to create a different kind of ark to go through the difficulties of life. because the vessels I have trusted in have leaked greatly. My mind has leaked greatly. My emotions have leaked greatly. And I've taken in a lot of that seawater and suffered. And I know you have as well. But after enough of this seawater, one begins to say, where's the pitch that seals this vessel up? It's the community. It's the practices. It's the teachings. Little by little, we stay afloat. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
Please, if you can, take a look at the words in your bulletin. This is a new chant.
God, that song blessed me. Thank you. Let's remember this truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. We give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember this together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Thank you. with gratitude for the blessings of each of our lives and all the goodness that we experience. We dedicate this love, these gifts, these tithes, these offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen.
May all the beings in this world and in all other worlds be peaceful and happy.
May all the beings in this world and in all other worlds be peaceful and happy.
May all the beings in this world and in all other worlds be peaceful and happy. Om Shalom Shanti.
Now let us rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
This humble ark is a vessel that is a place of refuge for us in the simple elements of bread and juice. It reminds us of the oneness that we experience inwardly, that we become participants of the divine nature, just being fully human. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies, his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Body of Christ. The 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 body of Christ. Blood of Christ. Blood of Christ. The 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 body of Christ. gifted.
On the bread of wisdom,
that we're the body of Christ.
Come to feast on the
Jackie, the body of Christ.
Of Christ.
Body of Christ,
come to taste the wine of compassion.
Body of Christ,
come to taste the love of Christ.
The body of Christ, Lord.
We come.
Living in eternal Christ, we fear your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude with song. Thank you, each of you, for your presence here this morning, for making our service what it was. The ark of my heart bows to the ark of your heart.